because, you know, same way the Kodesh Baruch Hu started the Torah, you know, Bereshit Bara Elohim in the beginning. So let's start in the beginning and go towards the end. The first thing it says is, everyone says it starts Va'era. This parsha does not start Va'era. It starts Va'idaber Elohim El Moshe, Va'yomer Elav Ani Hashem. And Elohim, the God, spoke to Moses and he said to him, I am God, I'm Yudke Vavke, right? I am the Lashon Havaya. And I revealed myself to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac under the name Shindalad Yud. But I didn't tell them about my other name, my real name, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why is that important? What is the message? What is he telling him? And then he says, I'm going to take care of you. Here are the four promises. I will carry out my covenant with you, give them Eretz Canaan, the land that they dwelled in. And I also heard of all their complaints against Egypt, which is making them work hard. And I remembered my covenant. Okay. This is because right before that, if you remember, Moshe and Aaron went to Paro and said, you know, God told us to tell you to let us go for 3 days and we can sacrifice in the desert. And Paro said, what do you mean? No, that doesn't really work. Doesn't work for me. Never heard of Hashem. I know all the gods in the world. I've never heard of Hashem. You know, I'm a god myself, the sun god, Re. And Ra. And you know, I haven't heard about this god. And so, you know, I'm also not sending you out. And then he makes up this whole thing. You know, the reason they want to go is because they're all lazy. So I'm not giving them any more straw, but they still have to make the straw bricks. So you guys got to get your own straw and make bricks, as many bricks as before. And of course, they couldn't do it. And so the Jewish overseers, were hit by the Egyptians because they weren't meeting their quota. Okay, and the Jewish overseers went to see Paro and said, "Listen, hey, you know, it's not our fault. You decided not to give us straw." And Paro says, "Your problem. Your guys are all lazy. That's why you say you want to leave. And so I'm not changing anything, and it's your problem." And the overseers saw as they were leaving Paro, they saw Moshe Aaron standing in front of them, and they went over to him and they said, "You know, God, let God appear to you again and judge, because you've caused us trouble." And they don't say because you've caused us to work harder. They say, "Hashem, if ashtem et rechenu, because you've caused our odor to stink in the eyes of Paro and in the eyes of his servants," which is interesting because generally you don't stink in the eyes, but that's what they said, "to give them a sword with which to kill us." And then Moshe goes back to Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, "What do you do? I mean, I went to do it. I did what you said, and it's gotten worse for the Bnei Yisrael. Well, you know, what's going on?" And of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "You know, you'll see now that that Paro will, you'll see what I'm, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. I will use my iron fist to have him send them out and to actually chase them away from Egypt." Well, that is wonderful. The reason I was telling you all that is because Moshe is basically complaining and saying, you know, I did what you said and it didn't work. It got worse. One of the Rabbanim said in Shul, it's the only time where the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Bnei Yisrael, to one of Bnei Yisrael to do something, and it came out worse. And I said, that's not the case, because when he told Moshe to send out the spies, it also came out worse. But it's okay. Happens. So what happens? What is God saying? He's saying, you know what? Paro is not wrong. Paro has a legitimate claim to what he said. He said, "I don't know Hashem. I don't know Yud Kei Vav Kei. So I'm not sending Bnei Yisrael out." And Hashem says, "You know what? It's not wrong. I revealed myself to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with a different name, Shin Dalid Yud. Not only that, but I did not reveal my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, to them. So when how is Paro supposed to know? When Paro says, I don't know who it is, he's not wrong. But he's going to have to suffer the consequences anyway, because now that he knows and he doesn't listen to me, he's going to be in trouble. That's one thing. The second thing is, it says, Vaydaber Elokim Moshe. Right? It doesn't say Vaydaber Hashem Moshe, which is pretty much where it says everywhere else. I would like to say that that takes us back to Ma'amad HaSneh. Right? If you look at Ma'amad HaSneh, with the exception of where it says Malach Hashem, who did the Vayah Malach Hashem Elav B'Labatesh B'Toch HaSneh, that God appeared, that the angel of God appeared to Moshe when he got to Har Sinai from within the flame. He appeared to him in a flame, as a flame within the snare, in this bush, the burning bush. Is that Bush Senior or Bush Junior? I don't know, but that's okay. And everything else it says has Elokim. Vaikrayla Elokim is b'toch hasneh, and Elokim called him from within the snare. Vayomer Anochei Elokei Avicha, Vayaster Moshe Panav, and Moshe didn't look at the snare. Ki yarei mehabit el ha'elokim, because he was afraid to look at Elokim. And then Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem Ro'eiti Tonim, that's what he says. After the initial presentation is Elokim. Okay? And we'd like to suggest that he went back to that situation. Why? Because it says after when Moshe came out, after the Israeli, the Jewish overseers said, you know, you really screwed us up. Moshe, well, metaphorically speaking, Moshe said, it says, Vayashuv Moshe el Hashem vayoma. And Moshe returned to Hashem and he said, I know we're talking Parashat Shemot, but it is the beginning of Parashat Vayera. What does it mean he returned? Where did he return to? So the Rashbam says he returned to the last place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him. If you look carefully, the last place HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him was in Har Sinai. So yeah, you can say Vayashuv Moshe, Moshe made a trip to Har Sinai. That's where I knew where he can commune with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or else he returned metaphorically to the situation where he was when he was at Ma'amad HaSneh. Okay, and the language Ve'ata, and now Ata Tireh, you will see, now you will see, goes back as Ma'amad HaSneh promised him two things with the same language of Ata, with now. One is once that now the screams of Bnei Israel are coming to me, now I will send you to go talk to Paro. So we'd like to suggest that this Vayera goes back to Parashat Shemot, justifies Paro somewhat, but also takes Moshe back to Ma'amad HaSneh and starts again. And that is why, again, at the end of all this, it says, go talk to Paro again. And Moshe starts all over again. How? No, I don't want to go. How am I going to go? The Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. How do you think Paro is going to listen to me? And I can't speak fluently. Right? And again, Moshe and Hashem said, okay, you go with Aaron and talk to Paro to take Bnei Yisrael out of it. So you see that things sort of go back here to Ma'amad HaSneh, and we're starting again. And where do we start with? We start off with the genealogy. A genealogy of who? Of whom? Pardon me. Genealogy of Moshe Aaron. But it starts removing Shimon, Levi. Whoops, Levi. All right, let's go into Levi. And then we get to Moshe Aaron. We finally end up with Pinchas. Okay? And so that's sort of the yichus of Moshe Aaron. Why is it here as opposed to anywhere else? Because he's starting all over again. This is really the beginning of when he went to power before. He said, you know, this is what God said. And Paro, to use the current language, Paro blew him off. But Kadosh Baruch Hu now is sending him back and he's saying, now it's serious. Go. Okay, so now we say who he's going. Moshe. Who Moshe Aaron? Who the Aaron Moshe? It's Aaron and Moshe and Moshe Aaron who went to take Bnei Israel out of Egypt. And Moshe starts all over again because it picks back up again. So it says that Moshe said, no, I don't want to go. Like, how's the power going to listen to me? And then God says, okay, go with you and Aaron. And they give the genealogy. And it says again, go talk to Paro and tell him everything I've told you. Moshe said, I have a speech impediment. How's Paro going to listen to me? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him this, the whole answer again. I have set you up as a someone with an authority figure for Paro, and Aaron Achicha will be your Navi, your prophet. But prophet doesn't mean prophet in the sense of telling the future, but prophet in the sense of being your mouthpiece, your interpreter. And we'll come across that later, hopefully, not this week, about Aaron being not his prophet, but being his interpreter. Okay? And I'll make Paro, harden Paro's heart. Da, 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 da. All right? And Moshe and Aaron went, and they did it all. Okay. So, we have this sort of reprise of what happened in Parashat Shemot. The question is this a retelling or is this a new thing? The answer is, I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts about this, you're welcome to share that with me. Moving along. Any questions up to now? Any comments? Bruce, you always have a comment. Anything?
I'm listening. Okay. Just listening.
Okay. Then we start with the not with the makot, but with the signs. Okay? Construction zone. I'm working on it. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, go to Paro and you and Aaron. And now Aaron is going to be the necromancer. He's going to be the magician. You know, tell him to take his staff, okay, and throw it on the ground in front of Paro and in front of his servants, and it'll become a what? What did it become?
Snake. So,
who said way, snake?
Well, you know, me. When I think
Leo, Hashem stop us. Who said snake, Leo?
Yes, I did.
No, but it's...
sorry. It became... Tanin is an alligator.
Crocodiles. Although when God tells Moshe to do it, throw down your staff to become a nachash, but in front of Paro it becomes a tanim. Sort of a strange...
Well, first of all, in Moshe's case,
right. It
was in with the snare, and it was in private, and it was Moshe's staff. This is our own staff. It became an alligator. I just want to remind you, for those of you who are originally, were used to old technology, our question used to be, what does an alligator do when he wants to make a phone call? And the answer was, he crocodiles. Okay, all right. Forget that one, let's go on. But yeah, I was waiting for that sort of half smile from Arthur. That was like, you know, another one of them. Okay. So it becomes a alligator, and all the Egyptian magicians threw their staffs down, and now we have an alligator pond. They all became alligators, and Aaron's staff swallowed their staffs. It doesn't say Aaron's alligators swallowed their alligators. It says Aaron's staff swallowed their staff. Is that thumbs down, Arthur? Is that for me? Thank you. Okay. All right. But Paro didn't really pay attention to this one either. And then we start, because Baruch Hu says, go to outside. Paro is on, will be standing in the Nile. We all know Rashi about that. You know, he had to take care of his business, but since he was a god, gods don't take care of their business. So he had to go out and do it in private. Take the staff. Which staff? The one which became a snake It's your staff from Har Sinai, from Chorev, from Amamad Asneh. Okay, take that one in your hand. And you shall say to Paro, God, okay, God sent me, right? And you didn't listen until now. This is what God says. This is how you know that I'm God. I, meaning Moshe, okay, will smite with my staff, which is in my hand, on the waters of the Nile, and they will become blood. And not only will it become blood, it won't just be food coloring, but the fish that are in the Nile will die, and the Nile will begin to stink, and the Egyptians won't be able to drink water from the Nile. Not only that, but the word that says "venilu Mitzrayim" means that they'll sort of give up, but they won't be able to, which is the same word that is used when the Sodomites came and put a siege to Lot's house. Right? They were blinded, vayilu limtzora patach, and they gave up trying to find the door. Same word. Interesting. I think it's the only two places it says it. All right. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Right? God says to Moshe, Emor el Aaron, say to Aaron, your brother, take your staff, okay, and place it over the waters of Egypt, on all the running waters, right? The rivers and the Niles and the Nile tributaries and the lakes and all their sort of brought mayim, all of their assemblages of water, and they shall become blood, right? And he raised his staff and he smote the water that was in the Nile in the eyes of Paro and the eyes of his servants. Everything became blood. Now, who does this, right? We have a sort of interesting thing, and Moshe is not, this is the first time, but not the only time that Moshe has done this. Moshe says, I shall smite with my staff the water, and you see it's going to turn to blood. And God came again. Now, we don't know whether, it's sort of funny because, we say that Moshe went to see him in private in the Or, right? And then it starts again. It says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, tell Aaron to do it." And it's le'enei Paro u'le'enei avadav, right? In the presence of Paro and his servants. So now the question is, are these two things the same, or are they two separate events? In other words, did Moshe come to Paro and tell him in private, I'm gonna smite the I'm turn the waters into blood so that you know what's going on? And Paro said, yeah, rather than say anything. And then later on, Moshe came to see him in the palace where there were his servants. Okay. I don't know. Okay. But it says the second when whoever it was who did it, Aaron, assuming it's Aaron, right? Then he did this le'enei Pharaoh le'enei avadav in the presence of Paro and in the presence of his servants. So this would assume that there was a separate ma'amad, a second viewing. We came to see him once, then he came to see him again with Aaron. Okay, because the first time it doesn't say go with Aaron, the first time it says to Moshe go privately. Okay, so this probably took place in two steps. Okay, so we see that everything became blood. All the fish died, and the Egyptians couldn't drink water from the Nile. But it tells us, everyone says, well, in that case, where the Egyptians, get their water from, right? And also says Vayasuchen Chatumim Mitzrayim Belatehem, and also the Chatumim, the magicians of Egypt, were able to do this with their magic, with their utterings. I don't know, I forget what you call all these this magic hocus pocus uttering, right? But in that case, where did they get the water from, right? All the water had already become blood. Where did it come from? The Ebenezer says, well, maybe they had some in bowls. And the Ebenezer also says, though, however, this is the books for me to be right. It says later on, and all of Egypt dug down into Metahom, into aquifer, right? Around the Nile in order to find water to drink. Because they couldn't drink the water from the Nile, which included all the water in the rivers and the tributaries and all that other stuff we already mentioned before. Okay. So either you know, there was, either they had, you know, bottled water, all right, or they dug some water up and they brought it to be, and the Chartumim also turned it into water. We don't know how long this lasted. It says, and they were 7 full days after God smote the Nile. But it doesn't say, and then it ended. It just says, we go on to the next Makkah, right? Go to Pyro and tell him, guess what's coming up? That's a little hint. He didn't tell Pyro yet. He told him already, more or less beforehand, Pyro, you're going to croak. But now he says, okay, you're getting frogs. Okay. Now, I don't know to what extent, I had to go look, and didn't get a chance to look what the gestation period of a frog is. But I have a friend whose name is Elisha David Ben Avraham, who said, look, what happened with the frogs? What does a frog do? A frog lays its eggs in the water, and the eggs turn into the tadpoles, and the tadpoles grow up into frogs. Okay, but of the hundreds of thousands or millions of eggs that a frog lays, most of them are consumed by the fish. Okay? So most of them, you know, don't come to fruition and don't become frogs. They don't even become tadpoles. But what happened? The water turned into blood and all the fish died. Okay? So when the, after the, whatever the time period, when they put their eggs in the water, even if it's blood, it's still eggs that can sort of live there, right? Eggs are like blood. But there are no fish to eat the eggs. So all of a sudden you have huge numbers of frogs that are available to be called upon to invade Egypt, which is, I think, a nice, rather nice interpretation.
If the water turns to blood, anything that could get out of the water would do so. Like frogs.
Yeah, but that would mean that the frogs came at the same time as it became, right after it became blood, but it didn't.
Well, the timing is all unclear. We don't really know the timing.
We do, because it says there's at least a week. And there's a full week that took 7 days that took place after God smote the...
Remember, they could survive a week.
And then it talks about the... Then it talks about the Tzfadim. So it didn't happen concurrently or simultaneously. I want to thank you for your point. What?
Maybe they could survive and we can then get out. I mean, it's just very logical that whatever...
But first of all, this is a huge number of frogs. And they didn't come out. It says 7 days later, there weren't the frogs out. You know, they're not going to live in the blood, then they're going to get out right away. So I don't... The blood was not the trigger for Makat Tzfadim. But it was the enabler of Makat Tzfadim indirectly, because the fish stopped eating the eggs. They have all these. It's an interesting illusion. It's not mine, but it's very interesting. I want to thank you for the dehydrated water, Arthur. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with homeopathy, right? It's that water has a memory, right? You put some kind of a substance in the water and you dilute it a million times, and you give that to somebody and it's supposed to cure him. I have the same problem with my, I don't have a dud shemesh. I have an electric dud. And so I heat the water before I take a shower, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe a couple hours later, I come to turn the hot water on and I have homeopathic hot water. In other words, it sort of has a memory that it was once hot, but not anymore. Okay. So this is the story with the frogs. You should know, I'm not being sectorial here, but we do have two kinds. One, we have the Sfaradim, and then we have the Ashkenazim. But okay. All right, I'm sorry. That was terrible. But I did try that out on the Chazan and Shul yesterday, and he laughed. So it was sort of spontaneous because we were looking for something in after 12 days. All right. Now,
Marty?
Yep.
On these miracles, well, the word miracles, would you view these as all within the confines of a natural phenomena? As opposed
natural phenomena. Natural phenomena which occurred at a certain time. All these things occur in Teva, occur, and they occur at a certain time. Makapacharot, you see, the things where they were, the Jews didn't happen to B'nai Israel, did happen to the Egyptians, right? You have to explain that element. But all these things are natural things which should occur at just the right time, and it became a makad, became a one of the Seret HaDibrot. No, Seret HaMakot. Right, one of the ten plays, not the Seret HaDibrot, but the number 10 is quite interesting. You know, God decided to afflict the Egyptians with 10 plagues, and he decided to afflict us with 10 commandments. Okay, we're not going to go there. Anyway, I didn't even get a smile from Arthur, so that's okay. It wasn't worth it. I'll stop here because I have lots and lots and lots of things to say. I'll just point out one thing. What? Yeah. And that was his follow-up. Paro didn't really like the frogs, right? And he called up Moshe and he said, you know, get rid of these frogs from me. He does, actually says, pray to God and he shall take these frogs away from me and my people, and I'll send you out and you can go. All right. So he actually is somewhat recognizing that Hashem exists, which is the point of the first three makot. And then Moshe says, Hitpa'er alai. You know, rely on me. Make it, this is for my glory. When do you want me to get rid of them? No. And what? And Paro doesn't say right away. Paro says, tomorrow. Okay. This is rather unusual and weird for two reasons. One is, you know, you would think Paro would say it now. And the second thing is that Moshe doesn't say it. Paro is the one who says, pray to God and have God remove it. And Moshe says, hey, you know, rely on me. You know, tell me when you want it, I'll take care of it for you. So it's a rather unusual. And we'd like to point out that this is somewhat similar to the same thing that happened in when Moshe hit the rock instead of talking to it and sort of took the credit for bringing the water out to Bnei Israel instead of. And so Hashem sort of, you know, called him on that. Says that you weren't the one who raised my name, Bnei Israel. So you sort of said it was you. And here again, Moshe is sort of saying, "Tell me what you want. I'll take care of it for you." And Paro says, "Tomorrow." Don't ask me why, but that's what he said. Rav Golan, anachnu roim ta sifriya, aval lo ta Rav Golan. All right. We'll wait. I guess we'll have to wait till he comes back. I did see him. Here he is.